And hello, thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamite, the natural nurse. And as always, I'm wishing you the best. And we love to hear from you right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Or you can get to us by visiting naturalnurse.com. There, if you click on calendar, you'll see all the classes you can actually join in on. And I was so happy to recently be at Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach, Florida. And we had a class there called Wisdom of the Ancient Healing Plants, where we went outside and gathered plants, made them into medicine, and everybody went home with a sacred amulet. We made tea and a tincture that they actually took home to use, made from the local wild plants. It was really a fun day, and we have all kinds of classes like that all the time. We also have CEU-certified classes for nurses, midwives, acupuncturists, massage therapists, and nutritionists. So if you have a license in any of those, you can take our classes both online and on ground and submit them for your update practice classes. Also, if you don't have a license and you take these classes, then we grant you our own certificate. So either way, it shows that you have been learning more every day. We have a class coming up in 2 days on career paths in natural medicine for those of you who would like to make your living doing natural health. And there's so many different avenues to get there, and that's what we'll be reviewing on Thursday. So you can join us online for that class. Just go to naturalnurse.com calendar, and you can sign up for any of the classes. And I am announcing it here because I'm so happy when people in various classes online and on ground share with me that they actually found out about it right here on Progressive Radio Network on our show, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Remember, if you hear something here today that you want to know more about, you can find today's show archived, and therefore you'll have direct access to the wonderful information shared by our guests or to get in touch with us for any reason. So I'd like to introduce our guest for today, Dr. Eric Kaplan. Dr. Kaplan is a teacher and student in the world of health and wellness. He has very impressive academic credentials. He received a BS in human biology at Emory University and a DC from Palmer College of Chiropractics. Also, he is a board-certified chiropractic neurologist with over 1,500 hours of postgraduate studies at the Carrick Institute, including specialty courses in movement disorder, vestibular rehabilitation, and childhood developmental delays. He's a board-certified functional neurologist and a fellow of the American Board of Vestibular Rehabilitation. Being trained in dozens of chiropractic and neurology techniques, he has the ability to treat many different types of patients. Groundbreaking research shows how functional neurology can help where modern medicine may have failed. And to find out more, visit him at Kaplan, that's KAPLANDC.com. That's KaplanDC.com. And thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Eric Kaplan.
Thank you for having me. And I just wanted to wish my wife and mother happy Valentine's Day, as well as yourself and all the women who just do a great job for all of us here in New York City and the rest of America.
Thank you so much for that. And it's certainly a time, you know, we're honoring feminine energy and also feminine energy that is part of who evolved and knowledgeable men are as well. So we all have some of that. So thank you so much for your great work. You have a beautiful website. I'm looking at it as we speak. Let's go back in time, Dr. Kaplan.
Yes.
When did you decide to go into healing as your profession?
Well, actually, it started very young. When I was 13 years old, I suffered from severe bronchitis. and I was put on steroids and antibiotics, and the drugs made me really, really sick, and I was not happy with the way my health was going. So my father, who was really into health and well-being at the time, started going to these natural hygiene seminars, and he said, why don't you come along with me? And I found out that dairy was a big cause of congestion in the lungs. So at 13 years old, I decided to go on this health kick. I quit dairy, and within a month, I cured myself of chronic bronchitis. And I brought my pediatrician back his steroids and his antibiotics. I said, I don't need your medicine. I healed myself naturally. And at 13, I decided this is what I want to do with my life, is help people get better naturally without drugs or medicine.
That's so interesting, Dr. Kaplan. And so many of us who are in natural medicine really have had similar personal stories where we ourselves, which is the case in my case as well, or a loved one, actually had a reversal of symptoms just by doing such a simple intervention. What did your doctor say? Did he say, oh, that's just old wives' tales, or you would have gotten better anyway?
Yeah, well, usually what they say is you got very lucky. And I knew in my heart that it wasn't luck, that it was commitment. And, you know, we heard the old adage, you are what you eat. So I decided to start eating healthy, and then I started feeling better.
Just amazing, but true every time.
Yes.
Now, my sister, by the way, is your also graduated from Palmer College, so she's a real advocate of their particular teaching. What made you go to that specific chiropractic school?
Well, a big part of my influence was Dr. Ted Carrick, who had a Carrick Institute out there. So we decided to pick a school that the Carrick Institute was very involved with. So my specialty became functional neurology. So as I was in chiropractic school during the week, on the weekend I would be really into functional neurology as well. So I got basically 7 days of school for, you know, 4 years, and I just wanted the most education I could get.
That's so wonderful. And I know these questions were not just so our audience knows. These weren't pre-planned. I often just like to, you know, see how did our super knowledgeable guests get to where they are to be in a position of power, empowering not only themselves and their families and their loved ones, but their patients with all the years of work that they took about to learn, you know, the intricacies of health and wellness. Because something very, very simple, stopping dairy. Wow, that sounds simple. But, of course, you go so much more deeply than that.
Yes,
what
definitely.
Is functional neurology?
So what functional neurology is, where we evaluate the nervous system. So each lobe of the brain, the brainstem, the cerebellum, the spinal cord, all the nerves, we do a whole evaluation of the nervous system, figure out any areas that aren't working at optimal levels, and then give the proper intervention to increase function to those areas so the patients function better, and then they'll start to feel better.
And I have been really very interested in that technique a long time, because my personal friend, who you may know, is Dr. Robert Melillo.
Oh, yes, of course. I know him very well.
And he wrote a fantastic textbook in your field.
Yes.
And he and I were colleagues for many years. He actually brought me into his practice to do nutrition and various other modalities that I use. And he was just so committed and did such a wonderful job at explaining that to me. And also, since I worked there in his office, I saw children, and you also, I think, are very involved with children as well as other parts of the population, because he really focused on the autism and Asperger's spectrum disorders. And the change so quickly in those children must be so satisfying to you to see those results.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing just to see a child look in his mother's eyes for the first time. It's like we give them their child back, and it's just an unbelievable feeling to get these brains developed. by getting rid of primitive reflexes, and then they could start to have normal interactions and social behavior like never before. And it, yes, as you said, it can be very, very quick. So it's a most rewarding job that I've ever had, and I love it so much, and I'm very passionate about it.
Now, besides children on the spectrum, what is a variety of patients that often do come in to see you?
Well, it's a wide range, from literally from 0 to 100, and we see, not only the autistic kids and dyslexic and Asperger's, but then we see adults, who have ADD, and we see adults with Parkinson's and stroke and multiple sclerosis and migraines and vertigo and autoimmune problems, all wide range of spectrum of different types of patients.
So if people are coming into your center, and by the way, you have a beautiful center called Kaplan Brain Body, the New York Functional Neurology, what's the easiest way for people to find you?
They could email me at kaplanbrainandbody@gmail.com, or they could go to my website, kaplandc.com.
Where I am now, so people can actually look at your beautiful office and,
yes,
wonderful location right in Manhattan. Really,
yes, and I actually have a second office in Paramus, New Jersey.
Oh, and also in New Jersey. That's great.
Right. So, and they could call me at 212-620-8121, and that goes to both offices.
Oh, that's good. And then people could have an appointment, whichever one is sort of faster for them.
Exactly.
And what happens when someone comes to your office? Now, you're a chiropractor. Are any people coming in for what would be considered typical chiropractic adjustments, or are most of them looking for your specific neurology certification?
Yeah, most of my patients do come for me for my neurology certification, but there are the chiropractic patients who don't get the results with typical chiropractic treatment, so they will call me and say, hey, I've been seeing a chiropractor, but I'm still not getting better. The chiropractor will send them to me, who has a higher training, and sometimes I'm able to get the results that they're not able to get as well.
So let's talk about someone walking in there. You can pick a typical patient of the day, the first one that pops into your mind. What would be the intake?
Okay, so I just had a patient just right before this call who came into me for a traumatic brain injury concussion. And what we would do is we set them up on what's called a VNG, what's called a video nystagraphy. And a VNG is where you wear these goggles, and I measure different eye movements. The different eye movements correlate to different lobes of the brain. So a fast eye movement is going to analyze your frontal cortex, and a slow eye movement is going to analyze the parietal cortex. The way I shine light and see how the pupils respond is analyzing the brainstem. And I'll spin them in a chair to analyze their cerebellum. So we could do all these different types of eye tests to figure out what part of the brain isn't functioning, because with a concussion or traumatic brain injury, it could really influence all different areas of the brain, and we got to figure out where's the most damage, and then I could give the appropriate treatment, because not all concussion patients will get the same treatment. It really depends on what area of the brain is not working, and that's the one we got to focus on.
See, that is a very interesting thing that you just said, Dr. Kaplan, which really I think is a big part of what's special about all natural medical interventions. It's never about, okay, you have traumatic brain injury, you have migraine, and therefore here's the cookbook approach of what we do for that. You
right.
are analyzing that individual patient, not about their diagnosis, but about them and what's going on with them. It may be a very different protocol for someone else who presents with the same diagnosis.
Exactly.
So then, I've seen that test done, by the way. First of all, it's completely non-invasive. You're not sticking needles into anyone's brain.
Exactly. No radiation.
And then what happens with that person? What might be something that you discovered?
Well, so let's say it was the frontal cortex that was most damaged by the concussion. I would give specific exercises that just work on the frontal cortex. So some things might be a little finger movement. And if it's on the right frontal cortex, we would do these little finger movements on the left side of the body. Or I might do some smell, some aroma type of therapy. But if it was the right frontal cortex, I would only have them smell in the right nostril. Or we might have them do a quick saccade, which is a quick eye movement. And if it was the right frontal, we'd only go up to the left. So it would be very specific to not only the lobe of the brain, but also to which side of the brain is not working properly.
And what might be the difference in terms of what you could find if one part of the brain is working versus another part of the brain?
Well, let's say if it was your cerebellum that got damaged, I would do these figure eight complicated types of movements. We would do more balance therapy. I would do rotational chair movements. So we have, you know, thousands of different things we could do depending on the area that's not working. And the key is where we do a pretest. So I'll do this certain test like the VNG, come up with my intervention, and then redo the VNG and make sure that it's improved. Not only does the patient have to get better, but we have to see the objective scientific results improve as well to know that we're doing the right things.
So the patient could report to you that they're having better success at certain things, and then also you have some kind of evaluation tool to see, you know, how they're moving along.
Right. You always have to have a pretest and a post-test to see that what we're doing is giving a positive benefit, because sometimes it might not be the most beneficial treatment, and I might have to switch it up and say, hey, you know what, this one didn't really work, let's try this, and then when I retest them, I get a much better result, so I know these are the areas we're going to focus on.
Okay, and let's talk about what you did with a particular patient and then how the outcomes moved along.
Well, with a lot of our patients, we do what's called intensive therapy, where they're in the office for 3 hours a day, and they come in for 6 straight days. So with someone like a stroke, if we do these intensive therapies, we could literally get them out of a wheelchair in a week because we're doing it so intensely and so frequently through what's called spatial and temporal summation. We create neuroplastic changes in the brain in a very short amount of time.
Okay, I have to backtrack here as the host. I definitely know what neuroplastic changes are, but I'm not so sure all our listening audience does. So, Dr. Kaplan, perhaps you can describe what that actually means on more of a lay level.
Okay, so let's think about it. If we're traveling from New Jersey to New York and the George Washington Bridge is damaged, so that's, let's say, a damaged nerve. If that nerve is damaged, we have to create new pathways, like through the Holland Tunnel or the Lincoln Tunnel, or build a whole nother bridge because there's one area that's damaged. So we have to create new neurologic pathways so that the messages can get from point A to point B.
Yes, okay, so you're actually creating. Now, how does that go? Does the body set up a new neural pathway somehow through the techniques that you're using?
Yes, exactly. So the new neural pathways are created through this spatial and temporal summation. So what that means is spatial summation is where we do a lot of activities all together. So we might do some light stimulation, some sound stimulation, some sensory stuff, some movement type of stuff, some oxygen therapy, some vestibular rehab, where we do all these different exercises at the same time. And then temporal summation, where we do it over and over and repeat it over and over again. And when we do it that way, it's like building a stronger muscle. So we just keep doing new pathways that have long-lasting changes, and that's what neuroplasticity is.
And how long does it take to create the new neural pathways?
Well, sometimes we could do it in a few days, depending on how severe it is. Sometimes, you know, it might take a few weeks. But it really depends on each patient and how much damage there is.
And I imagine, does it have anything to do with age? I mean, it seems like things are more calcified and slower when people are older than when they're younger.
Well, I typically don't like to blame things on age. So We tend to think that way because of habits that form as we age. But you can have an elderly individual, but their brains are really strong and plastic because they exercise every day and they eat a really healthy diet. So it's more environmental anything than age. So we can have, you know, a 20-year-old kid who does nothing but sit on the couch and play video games all day, and their brains aren't going to respond as quickly as someone who's already at a higher state of health.
Okay, well, I'll interject here, you know, like a Valentine to my dad, because my dad is 91 years old, and at this very minute, he's either walking, swimming, or doing something. His butt is almost never in a chair. And when it is, his new habit is to, all day, as he goes through his very, very active life, listen for words he never heard before, and then he looks them up on the computer.
That's fantastic.
I know. It's just amazing. It's really, you know, he's the perfect example of that, and my mother actually as well, both of them. They just run around all day. They don't eat much, and they're learning and changing and growing, and they're in excellent health. So I really, really think that, you know, what you're saying plays out so beautifully to be completely true. And that's very motivational for people to, you know, get up and move and learn and don't stop learning. There's no time to stop learning.
Exactly. You're going to learn forever, and that will keep your brain strong and healthy throughout your life. So we can prevent a lot of these neurological diseases by just altering our environment when we're young and make sure we stay nice and healthy.
Oh, absolutely. So this is really an interesting and new thought for many, many people. And what we're going to do right here is just take a few-minute break to listen to a Natural Medicine Chest. And when we come back, we are going to continue our fascinating discussion with our guest today, Dr. Eric Kaplan. That's Eric with a C. Some Erics spell it with a K, but this is Eric with a C, Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N. We're talking about functional neurology, a wonderful healing tool that you're not going to get from your typical conventional medical general practitioner, unless they are also truly versed in functional neurology. And it's non-invasive. There's no danger to the therapy. And the results are astounding, and I can actually vouch for that because I worked with Dr. Robert Melillo, who actually wrote a textbook that I imagine Dr. Kaplan is completely familiar with in this really highly advanced topic. So we will be right back with more right now on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Stay tuned.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss Sarsaparilla, or Smilax officinalis.
Sarsaparilla is a tropical plant which grows in South America, Mexico, and Guatemala. Although most Americans are familiar with it as a flavor enhancer for root beer, it has also been used for its beneficial properties for hundreds of years by many different cultures. In Roman times, the young shoots were eaten, and the mature vines were worn as garlands at festivals of Bacchus. According to ancient Roman writings, Sarsaparilla originated when the beautiful maiden, Smilax, was turned into a shrub after her love was slighted by the young crocus.
Sarsaparilla was brought to Europe in the 16th century by Spanish traders. A French physician, Nicolas Monardus, published a comprehensive account of Sarsaparilla as a treatment for syphilis in 1574. During Portuguese military operations in 1812, a British inspector general of hospitals noted its positive effect on syphilis patients. It has also been used in China for treatment of the same condition. Sarsaparilla was included in the United States Pharmacopoeia until 1950 as a recommended treatment of secondary syphilis.
Sarsaparilla's medicinal action appears to be a result of binding bacterial endotoxins in the gut, thereby decreasing their absorption. This greatly reduces the stress on the liver and is likely responsible for its historic use as a tonic and blood purifier.
In a controlled study of 92 patients published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1942, A chemically active component of sarsaparilla, called sarsaparin, greatly improved psoriasis in 62% of the patients and resulted in complete clearance in 18%. Sarsaparilla is often recommended by naturopathic physicians for gout, arthritis, and psoriasis. Another folkloric use for sarsaparilla is as a tonic for male sexual potency.
So, if you want a root beer flavored tea with a long history as a healthy tonic, reach for the sarsaparilla in your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can always send us a message directly with any of your questions at Facebook, The Natural Nurse, or naturalnurse.com. And we love to know what you're up to and what you'd like to know about in your quest for natural living. We have all kinds of topics from nutrition, herbal medicine, botanical pharmacology, how to get involved in natural health care for yourself, and also as a profession if you're interested. We also talk a lot about the politics of natural medicine, which of course is an ongoing and updatable topic at all times. And today we have with us our very knowledgeable guest, Dr. Eric Kaplan. Dr. Kaplan received a Bachelor of Science in Human Biology at Emory University and is a Palmer College chiropractic graduate, and then is specialized as a board-certified chiropractic neurologist, and also was deeply involved at the Carrick Institute, where he took courses in movement disorders, vestibular rehab, and childhood developmental delay. And he is a board-certified functional neurologist and a fellow of the American Board of Vestibular Rehabilitation, and has the ability to treat many different types of patients. Best place to find him, get in touch. You can visit his offices directly in either Manhattan or New Jersey, KaplanDC.com. So that's our guest today, and thank you so much for being with us today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
You got it. It's my pleasure.
Now, Dr. Kaplan, why do you think that so many more children are being born on what might be called the Asperger and autism disorder spectrum? Or is it, you know, some doctors say, well, there's really not any more. It's just that we're better at identifying them. What do you think?
Well, there's definitely more children that are on the spectrum. There is an increase in diagnostics as well, but it is very obvious just going into the classroom that there are definitely a higher percentage of autistic kids on the spectrum. The basic idea is there's a lot more environmental exposure to toxins. And it actually starts from pregnancy. The most important time of development is pregnancy. And when the mother is exposed to many chemicals, whether it's through the foods or through the air or the water or the cleaning materials, then their brains are already affected even before they're born. And then when they are born, they're bombarded with more and more chemicals that are going to affect the development of their brain.
You know, that's so true, and it's so well documented, and it seems, it's not that it seems, we know, that in other countries around the world, they seem to do a much better job at testing not only this barrage of chemicals, it's one thing what each of these chemicals can do, but then there's really no testing in terms of what they do when they come together and cause even more toxic metabolites.
Exactly. It's just toxic overload.
So you feel in your wise and studied decision that there is more people being really negatively impacted and being on the spectrum, possibly because of the influence of these chemicals and other environmental factors while their mother is pregnant or shortly after they're born or both.
Correct, exactly.
And it seems like conventional medicine is poo-pooing that and saying it's just all genetic, which is absolutely impossible because we haven't changed genetically as a race so tremendously that it would reflect these huge change in numbers.
Exactly. What we like to call is epigenetics. And what epigenetics is, you might have certain genes that predispose you to it, but if your environment is altered, you could turn off these bad genes, or if it's bad, you could turn on these bad genes.
Okay, so
we
have not purely genetic. Let's talk about some of the factors that might actually turn these genes on or off.
Right, that's called epigenetics. So there's very few things that are just completely genetic. Something like sickle cell anemia, yes, that's completely genetic. But most problems that we've been dealing with can be altered through environment.
Which might include diet, which might include cutting down on certain cleaning products, might include water filters,
and
those things
one.
That you discuss with patients.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it all starts even before pregnancy. So I tell the father, you know, if they're going to get ready, you know, to make sure they start eating organic, get rid of all caffeine and sugar, start reading a very healthy diet, start exercising. So you want to get in as healthy a shape as possible for the mother and the father before even attempting to have a baby, because you want to have this baby's brain function as best as possible.
And, you know, some of the newer research is really, really interesting in terms of being able to measure that change. Like one that has been well documented is the use of DHA. And that when the mother has particular levels of DHA during pregnancy, even at 5 years old, there's changes in IQ and intellect capacity of the children.
Yes, that's completely correct. And I'm also a functional medicine practitioner where we look at blood work levels and evaluate it and see where the deficiencies are to make sure that the mother and the father are as healthy as possible to make sure that the kid will develop in the best way possible.
And shouldn't that be just what we do? Shouldn't this be standard of practice in mainstream medicine since the science is there?
It should be, but it starts from the schooling. So unfortunately, the schooling needs to change where we focus more on these type of preventative stuff rather than the focus being on the treatment of a condition that's already there.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm sure a lot of people, by the time they get to your office, you know, ideally, if your entire patient load was all really healthy people trying to stay that way, that might make your job easier and would kind of be a fun day. But what I find in general is most people who seek natural health advice have already been through the gamut of conventional medicine, and they have not found relief. So then they start seeking you out, but sometimes, you know, this is well along in the chain.
Yes, that is completely correct. So unfortunately, people are first to go to the medical doctor and try the medicine and the surgeries first, and when those fail, then they'll come to me. The way we change it, though, is from within. So, you know, when I start to see the mother and change her life, then she wants her child to start out naturally from the beginning. But usually, yes, the first visit is there's already been something wrong, and sometimes they've seen 60 to 70 doctors with no hope and no help, and I'm the last hope for them, and a lot of times we're able to turn that around.
Isn't that satisfying?
Oh, it's amazing. I have the best job in the world.
Because every healthcare provider, be they a nurse, and that's why I have so many nurses studying with me how to do natural nursing, and most physicians, truly, did not get into medicine just, you know, okay, well, it's a paycheck. They really were, because it's a big, you know, a big commitment to training. And they usually had as their initial desire to be able to help people. But I know so many people in conventional medicine, they really don't feel that they're helping people because they're just giving them pharmaceuticals and possibly surgery. And nothing really gets too much better. We might suppress symptoms for a little while, but what you're doing can actually change the entire milieu of the internal environment and really create healing.
Yes, and I, you know, thank the Lord every day for to give me this opportunity to help people and get them better in a natural, non-invasive way.
Well, let's talk about something that I'm unfortunately, I think a lot of people can relate to. But it's not a deadly disease, but it certainly can cause a lot of health problems, and that is sleeping difficulties.
Yes, unfortunately, in New York City, we are the city that never sleeps, so not the best nickname. I like the Big Apple a little bit better. But the sleeping, there's lots of techniques that people can start doing right away. So the first thing that you want to do is what's called intermittent fasting. And what that means is you only eat from 9 to 5 because the reason we eat is to give us energy. What most people do is, you know, run out to work in the morning and a quick little lunch, and then they come home at night and have this huge dinner. And that's the worst way to do it, because when you have this huge dinner, you're going to increase your cortisol levels, and that's going to make your sleep time a lot more difficult. So what we have to start to do is eat like a king for breakfast, a prince for lunch, and a pauper for dinner, meaning our biggest meal in the beginning when we need the most energy, second biggest meal for lunch, and a very tiny dinner early on in the evening. And that will help you sleep better. The second thing that's most important is screen time. So we don't want to be looking at computers and television and cell phones and iPads once the sun goes down, because when the sun goes down, you want your melatonin levels to go up. So if you start exposing yourself to light once the sun goes down, you're going to increase your cortisol, and that's going to inversely be proportional to your melatonin, bringing that down, making it harder to sleep as well.
Well, you know, I know that's scientifically accurate, but most people do either go on the computer at night or, of course, watch TV.
So if you're going to do that, you want to use what's called a blue light filter, which will filter out those strong blue lights, which is going to stimulate cortisol the most. So I don't recommend it, but if you really want to be exposed to that screen time, you would have to get blue light filters, and that will help to decrease that exposure, and that will make your sleep a little bit easier as well.
And what about darkening the room? Because I think that's really challenging in places like New York City and, truthfully, just about everywhere these days. I wrote an entire article on my website at naturalnurse.com on light pollution and how it interferes with the pineal gland in its natural function and its production of melatonin.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So, yeah, I would totally agree with that. And you want to limit all your light exposure, and it goes according to the rules of the sun. So in the winter, we actually need to limit them a little bit earlier, and the summer you can get away with it a little bit later.
And there's techniques. Like, for instance, I have very dark curtains that I pull at night. And then if that doesn't work and the light's still kind of sneaking around the curtain, I actually have I guess you call it a blindfold, but it's a special kind where the cups, the eye part are made into cups so that your eyelashes don't hit them when your eye is fluttering during sleep. So it's actually putting some time and energy into creating a dark environment.
Yes, that's exactly correct. So that's definitely something that I would suggest as well, and I think it'll make a big difference.
Now, are there any techniques, if people came to your office, that might also help with it making a nicer sleep night for someone?
Yeah, there's lots of things you could do. What you want to do is stimulate what's called your autonomic nervous system. You want to do vagal nerve exercises, and that is your rest and digest nerve, the vagus nerve. So ways you could stimulate that naturally would be gargling. And when you want to gargle, you want to gargle really, really intensely. Or you want to do the gag reflex. So you literally take a tongue depressor touch the back of your throat and elicit the gag reflex. And you could do facial rubs where you start to rub your face, which will help link that facial nerve to the vagus nerve. And you can rub your ear, the tragus part of your ear, which is that little inner flap, and that will help to calm down your nervous system as well.
Wow. You know what? I've been doing this a long time, very long time. We're speaking here today with our guest, Dr. Eric Kaplan at KaplanDC.com. And I have never heard this before.
Yeah, if you're
those
interested in some of these little tricks,
I want to talk about them again. So you're talking about stimulating the vagus nerve.
Right.
And by doing things that cost absolutely nothing.
Yep.
That you don't have to go pay a doctor to do for you, that you can do yourself.
Exactly.
That take literally, you know, a few seconds to a minute.
Yep.
That can actually help. So tell us that again.
So the four things I just reviewed are gargling for 30 seconds, and you gargle really intensely, and you gargle the alphabet, like gargle a song, and you want the water spraying everywhere. The more intense the gargle, the better. And then you want to do the gag reflex. So you take a tongue depressor, touch the back of your palate. You want to do facial rubs where you rub from your nose towards your ear for 30 seconds. And you want to rub the tragus part of your ear for 30 seconds as well. And I have videos of all these little tricks. If you guys are on Instagram, it's Kaplan Brain Body. And I'm also on Facebook at New York Functional Neurologist and Kaplan Brain and Body as well, where I post these videos of all these little tricks that you could do for stuff like sleep and stress and anxiety as well.
I am going to view them right after our show because that's what I love to do here at The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z and in all the books I've written and all the information that is really free to the public is have things. I mean, fantastic to come to your office and have all those evaluations. That's fantastic, and that would be the first thing that I think people should do. But let's say they can't get there or they live in Wisconsin and they're listening to our show today. You still have things that are available that basically are tools that can be done on your own. And who would know that? It sounds so easy, so inexpensive, and so accessible to anyone. Those are excellent suggestions. And we do have posts after today's show. We will have this show posted, and I'll send you a link, of course, Dr. Kaplan, that you can use and place on your website as well, or download it and use it in any way you'd like. But we do have all your Snapchat, your YouTube, your Instagram, your Twitter. In other words, someone can find you pretty easily. Well, we're going to take a little break right here, once again, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, because we love you to know about Progressive Radio Network. Also, you can listen to today's show again, along with about five of our past shows, anytime by our telephone link, which is 701-719-0884. That's 701-719-0884. And this show, which we're doing live at this moment, right, with Dr. Kaplan, will also be archived along with all of Dr. Kaplan's connection sites and all that with links to them. So visit the archives. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Progressive Radio Network, the number one network for those who care about the truth.
Hi, this is Gerald Celente. If you want to stay ahead of the news and on top of the trends, join me every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on Progressive Radio Network for Trends This Week, where you can hear history before it happens.
Activist Radio on the Progressive Radio Network is a weekly program for all Americans who are not in the wealthiest 1% of the U.S. population. Fred and Eli offer a little history you didn't learn in high school, some news stories you haven't seen on our mainstream media, and a couple of songs to help you join the resistance. Our website, classwars.org, offers a little background on how the few richest of our citizens lie to the rest of us to expand their power and wealth. Class wars is a dirty term in our media, which always implies that America is above such crudeness. But the very rich are not above that at all. They are sick with greed, of course, but so far the rest of us are what might be worse. We haven't organized yet to fight back. So gear up for some class wars every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. That's www.prn.fm.
This is the number one radio station for progressive independent thinkers, the Progressive Radio Network.
And we're back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we're here with our wonderful guest today, Dr. Eric Kaplan, who has been sharing with us a wide range of usable information. If you're just tuning in now, I suggest you come back and listen to this archived show. There's so much to learn. He is a board-certified chiropractic neurologist and has studied at the Carrick Institute. And we've been talking about a lot of different health challenges, such as ADHD and the autism spectrum. We talked about concussion. We talked about sleeping difficulties. Let's go to one more. We have just a few minutes more of time that we're here sharing with you, Dr. Kaplan. What about Hashimoto's? All kinds of thyroid problems seem to be so epidemic these days. Are you there?
Yeah, so with Hashimoto's, it's definitely a growing problem, and a lot of it actually has to do with nutrition. So what most doctors do is they only look at what's called this TSH, and they say, okay, your thyroid's low or your thyroid's high, and they give you the medication to get your levels in the normal range. But with a Hashimoto's, it's an autoimmune thyroid. And what an autoimmune thyroid means is that the body is attacking itself and specifically at the thyroid. So with Hashimoto's, what you have to do is a whole elimination diet. And when I have patients who come to me with Hashimoto's, I have them a 4-page list of all the foods that they have to avoid. And we do it for 6 weeks straight, and it has to be 100%. And if you cheat, you know, on the weekend, it won't work. So you got to do it for 6 weeks straight, and you do this whole elimination diet, and you can literally get your levels normal just by altering your diet.
So what's the difference between Hashimoto's and some other thyroid challenges?
Well, there might be all different types of thyroid problems. So you might have a thyroid problem from the pituitary gland, or you might have it from like a secondary thyroid problem, or primary thyroid, or hyper, or a Graves, or a Hashimoto's. So what we do is a whole thyroid panel where we check all the different levels, the TSH, the T3, the T4, the free T3, the free T4, all the different antibodies, so we could kind of do a little detective work and figure out, okay, why is the thyroid not working properly? And each diagnosis requires a different type of treatment.
And so it's a complex issue, and it would be best to see somebody who understands the complexity of these kinds of issues, like a functional medicine certified practitioner like yourself.
Exactly.
One patient came to me the other day, and there was an issue with the alkaline phosphatase as well as differences in the TSH level. And, you know, I'm just looking into what that connection might be.
Well, that's more of liver connection there. So sometimes you'd have to detox the liver and get rid of all the toxins that are in your body first, and that would also secondarily help the thyroid too.
So isn't it interesting, because everything is connected, as we certainly focus on in natural medicine, not just do this for this person and do that for that disease. It's really looking, I mean, you even evaluate something like leaky gut syndrome.
Yes, leaky gut syndrome is definitely going through the roof. So for that, that's a whole process where we have to take it a step by step, where the first thing we would do is reduce the inflammation. Because with a leaky gut, you have these little ulcers or these big holes in the gut where you're going to have bacteria and yeast and parasites leak out of the gut, enter the bloodstream, and go to different parts of the body, including the brain. So what you would have to do is first reduce the inflammation, and we could do it naturally through, you know, stuff like turmeric and resveratrol. And then after you reduce the inflammation, then you have to plug in these holes. And we use different formulas, something called Repairvite, which kind of plugs in those holes, and then you flush out all the bad stuff. So it's a step-by-step process.
And, you know, I have found, because I lecture all the time, I'll be lecturing tonight at a major hospital in the Florida area, that when you use the word leaky gut, conventional physicians will sometimes say, I don't believe in leaky gut, whatever that means, as if it's a religion.
Exactly.
But if you use the word intestinal permeability, they get it.
Right. The leaky gut is more for the layperson. So
as
when you're speaking
a,
to
a name, but it certainly exists. It's the funniest thing that they say, we don't believe in that. What could you possibly mean? There's so much mainstream medical data on that.
Yeah, well, the only things they believe in are things that they can write the prescription for. So if there's not a, you know, a drug for it, then it doesn't exist, basically.
Yeah, that's it. And, but it's kind of, you know, it's got to go away at some point. I've been doing natural medicine since 1964. Yes, that's a six. And you would have thought that we would have made more progress by now. But yet, there are certainly professionals like yourself who have studied the real science and are doing what I call good medicine, not alternative medicine, but good medicine, science-based medicine. And that's why you are looking at the true brain-body connection and what you can do about it, as well as always giving your patients homework about what they can do about it, because that's really who's in charge of their health.
Exactly. Nobody cares more about your health than yourself. So fortunately, these days, you know, we have these resources where you can do your own research, and we don't just have to take the doctor's word for it. So, and the doctor's job is to educate themselves as well. So some people, you know, once they get their degrees, then they're kind of stuck in their ways. But all this stuff is changing, so we got to keep up with the research, and we got to keep learning new techniques and new strategies to, you know, better our patients' health and well-being.
Yeah, there's wonderful conferences in gut-brain health, which are all over the country. I'll be lecturing at one in November in Florida,
which
is being put on by InnoVision. So it's certainly a field that has a lot of research data behind it. And then, of course, as you've shared with us, also such great clinical success.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the changes we can make now. So I'm very excited for all the latest research and to keep learning new stuff and new ways to help our patients.
And so we talked about autism, we talked about Hashimoto's, leaky gut. What about people just taking a general multivitamin? What are your recommendations about that?
Well, people think that just because it's a vitamin that it's safe, and that's not necessarily true. So what the deal with vitamins is, you always have to look at your blood work, and you have to look at each level and see, are there any deficiencies? So there are very few people that are deficient in every single vitamin. So the real multivitamin is going to be through your food. And the way to get all your vitamins are to eat each color of the rainbow. So every day you have to eat something that's red and orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. If you cover the rainbow, then you're going to make sure you get all your vitamins. If for some reason you're not getting all your vitamins, you evaluate your blood work, you look at any deficiencies, and the only vitamin you should take are stuff that you're deficient in. One of the most dangerous vitamins is calcium. So I have a lot of patients come to me on even doctors' recommendations that say, oh, you know, I'm getting older, they want me to take calcium for my bones. No, you shouldn't take calcium for your bones. You should only take calcium if you are deficient in calcium. Because if you start taking calcium and your levels are normal, then it becomes toxic, and then you have to deposit it someplace else, maybe in your breast tissue leading to breast cancer, maybe in your arteries leading to, you know, heart attacks or stroke. So it has to deposit it somewhere if it is at a level that's too high.
And that is really, really good advice. So I hope people paid attention to what you just said. That's really true. Taking calcium can be very destructive, and you also need to know if you are going to take any supplement, you really want to be schooled in the form. Because if you were going to use calcium, one you don't want to take is calcium carbonate. And this is true with each supplement. There are various forms that are better absorbed, that are useful for some people and not others. You may want to investigate methylated Bs. And then I always like to read the other ingredients, because if you use a commercially available, let's say multivitamin, it starts with a C, I'm not going to say the brand name, it has in it things like talc, butylated hydroxytoluene, dye, red, blue, green, yellow. I mean, things you absolutely do not want to use, and it's being sold as a supplement.
Yes, you're exactly right. You always, whatever you put in your body, you have to look in the ingredients. And unfortunately, they're with the children too, they're giving them all these, you know, gummy multivitamins that are just full of all like high fructose corn syrup and all these little dyes, like you were saying. So yeah, always look at the ingredients and look what you're putting in your body.
Right, just because it says vitamin doesn't mean it's good. It could be exactly what you don't need and can make your condition actually much worse, unfortunately. Well, thank you for all those wonderful, wonderful tips, Dr. Kaplan. We're going to be going off shortly, so once again, tell our listeners the best way to find you.
Okay, so my phone number is 212-620-8121. My email is kaplanbrainandbody@gmail.com. My website is kaplandc.com, and you can find me on Facebook at New York Functional Neurologist and Kaplan Brain and Body, and we're on Instagram at Kaplan Brain and Body and Twitter, Kaplan Brain Body.
Well, in case that was too fast for any of you to write down, especially if you're driving and listening to our show, you can find all that on our archive at both PRN.FM and also at naturalnurse.com. So once again, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Kaplan.
And thank you for having me, and happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, and you too. And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Until next time, get in touch at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And on behalf of myself and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Samperone, we remain wishing you the best. Stay healthy.